You want alpha? Well, we're out of the studio again, in Hong Kong this time, and getting it for you in real life.
Boom.
But nice time to get up, take a walk, show you guys around the conference. Let's go.
There is one person who convinced us, affected us, influenced us to learn more about crypto.
Wen Token.
Now there's competition. We're about to see true capitalism at work.
And now the price is starting to skyrocket again.
So my advice is maybe just hodl.
Bro, what's going on?
Maybe we've been building, so...
What are you building?
Are there any prospects of an airdrop or anything like that going forward? You can tell by the smile that he's not allowed to tell me, but...
I think we applaud President Trump appointing very pro-crypto administrators.
Trump, here we go!
And I think it's just wonderful to see consensus here in Hong Kong.
Yes!
I live in Hong Kong, I love Hong Kong.
This special episode at Consensus Hong Kong is brought to you by Supra, a multi-VM layer one with a built-in Oracle, the world's first vertically integrated all-in-one blockchain.
We're back in Hong Kong. We haven't been here for 5 years, and since then, a lot's happened. The Chinese took over, the expats moved out, but also Hong Kong became crypto-friendly, and a lot of new companies moved in, a lot of new liquidity, and a lot of new projects. We're here for Consensus 2025. And we're going to take you for a look around to see exactly what's happening on the Hong Kong scene. Let's go.
We're back in Hong Kong for Consensus after 5 years. The last time we were here was before the China takeover. A lot of companies and expats have left, but we're hearing that this time there's newcomers, new liquidity, and maybe a new frontier for crypto.
Boom.
So here we are at Consensus, where the ceremonial dragons kick things off. And why? They traditionally welcome the new year, the loud drum beat bringing good luck and money. The perfect charms for 8,000 attendees, 3,000 companies, and 4 trillion in assets here under one roof.
This week's edition of Crypto Trader starts right now.
This is a much changed Hong Kong we're returning to. The last time we were here was in 2019 with CNBC, but that was before the anti-China protests, before COVID, and before Bitcoin ever hit $100,000. Fast forward to today, Hong Kong has become, well, much more Chinese. But 5 years on, new expats have been shipped in, and the city has now become the gateway to China for the West, and it's officially open for business, especially for crypto. On the floor at Consensus, it feels bullish, if you will. At the bullish networking lounge, many people are moving to utility and serious projects with reputable builders versus the meme coins, solely evident by the bonkers. Usually we're here coming to you live every day from our global headquarters and studio in real time. Our entire team working day in and day out to bring you the best insights in the industry. But every now and then we've got to get out into the field and talk to the biggest names and the biggest movers and shakers in crypto. That's what sets Crypto Banter apart and gets you the best perspective possible. Back at the conference, we'll touch upon every vertical out there. Retail, real world assets, memes, exchanges, L1s, new L1s, L2s, new projects, and much, much more alpha. Plus, you'll get to see how Consensus was all over Hong Kong, from Wan Chai to Lang Kwai Fong, and much, much more. Opening the conference was Michael Law, chair of Consensus Hong Kong, welcoming the Hong Kong Secretary of Finance and his team, and emphasizing how friendly Hong Kong is for crypto.
Your decision underscores Hong Kong's growing prominence as a global hub for Web3 and crypto innovation.
So what we are looking at is how are we going to attract the activities back to Hong Kong?
This event also reflects our commitment to building a thriving digital asset ecosystem.
We're looking at, you know, whether they can do staking, whether they're allowed to do virtual asset derivatives, maybe provide to professional investors first.
First things first, the headliners hit Hong Kong with Binance's CEO kicking things off.
How that shaped the way that you're thinking about this going forward at Binance.
To all the friends that are coming through, good morning. To all the friends from Hong Kong, 早晨, 大家好. And when I first got involved into crypto, that's around 2017. Right? I was a regulator then. It's going to be the future of finance, it's going to be the future of money. I think we applaud President Trump appointing very pro-crypto administrators, politicians, and agency leaders now, right?
So other leaders and always drawing big crowds in Asia, Justin Sun from Tron. On stage was Zach from World Liberty Financial.
All right, we got a full house for Justin Sun. Look, we all know Justin Sun. He's like the star of Hong Kong crypto. But we don't know this guy right here, Zach, who came all the way from the US to talk to us in Hong Kong.
Probably one of the most influential people in the entire crypto sphere.
How did you meet Zach? Like, what's your story?
Yeah, so basically, I love the project, you know, World Liberty Fi. I think it's a great project focusing on bridge traditional finance with the crypto world.
And hopefully ever bridging more retail users are the exchanges. Big sponsors with big footprints. Bullish, Gate, WeX, CoinW, and even Bitpanda.
We have Hong Fang from OKX, we have Gracie Chen from BitGate, and we have Armani Ferrante from Backpack.
Here is Gate. Now, as you guys know, Gate is one of our exchange sponsors. You can see that they've taken over the Formula One sponsorship on Red Bull, and they really are starting to make the right noises. So massive, massive, massive turnout. It's been one of the best stands at the conference.
Also present, plenty of chains and L1s that you'll recognize. Aptos, Neo, even Polkadot, Telos, Incentive, and of course, Tron.
Yeah, you have Aptos making some big announcements here. We're actually going to catch up with one of the founders later on today. Lots of stages, lots of speakers, lots of deals, lots of people.
And here it's not just Web3, but Web2 and TradFi making inroads here in Hong Kong. Among them, Google Cloud, Alibaba, CME, plus reps from all of these companies. A huge win.
You've got institutional investors, the CME group, over here exhibiting.
The majority exhibiting, though, the service providers, picks and shovels, the backbone of the cryptosphere. Companies like Animoca, Certik, Signum, Alchemy, Hextrust, Genius, DLT, Luna, and various other projects from mesh networks and miners to Telegram and USDC sharing their wares.
And there's about $7.5 billion of transfer volume of USDT over Ton Network every single month.
We launched Ton Connect, connecting Telegram mini apps and wallet in Telegram seamlessly.
But did you know that there are now over $23 trillion worth of on-chain transaction that's been done using USDC?
My core problem today with USDT and USDC is there's not really, outside of being a company with like a US bank account, there's not really a good reason to hold these tokens.
As you can hear, talk sparked debate. From Tether and USDC to Bitcoin, ETH, L2s, meme coins, and of course, the Libra fiasco. Listen to a roundup of all things stirring up controversy.
To what extent do you believe this whole meme coin Libra, let's say noise around, pumped up fun and everything, was positive or negative on the Brother Solana ecosystem?
Clearly bad for everyone involved. Right. I think it's a pretty terrible situation. With meme coins, okay, well that's what, anywhere between 20 and 50,000 meme coins a day. Are all of them Libra? No. Are all of them going to be sort of retirement assets you're going to be holding down, handing down to your children?
What? No. They're not? Oh, man.
When we started the industry, maybe people were creating projects. We had like a couple of projects per month. Now we have 50,000 tokens created per day, right?
Yeah.
It's almost insane, right?
But if you're thinking about Bitcoin as a new money, not just an asset, but a replacement for all fiat money, then you're probably better off just hodling your Bitcoin.
Bitcoin L2s to pretty much like on par in terms of being trustless to Ethereum. And that has happened over the last like year and a half.
And right now I'm working on Bitcoin OS. Earlier this week we launched a testnet allowing developers to, for the first time, start experimenting on being able to bring any kind of thing, build permissionlessly on Bitcoin.
And one of the huge problems that that ecosystem has been facing recently, that ecosystem being Ethereum, has been born out of roll-up fragmentation.
The challenge that Ethereum has had is that has come at the expense of scaling the L1.
I don't believe that there's going to be just a general chain that is going to service everyone for everything.
All of the best talent has been going into AI, not crypto.
We're going to have a whole network of AIs running continuous businesses, prediction markets on pretty much everything. And
at present, AI is used more often for fraud.
Then AI agents can truly scale and open up these economic opportunities to billions of people around the globe.
The great AI debate rages on. Funny thing on the floor is we're seeing AI, AI agents and robots attending conferences.
Nice to meet you. We're in the middle of an interview and a robot just walked up to us. maybe you want to see this. What's your name?
It's my Alphabet. Maybe the robots could cover all the ground here at Consensus. The main stage, the emerging tech stage, Money Reimagined, the Builders and Startup Showcase, the Web3 Arts and Culture stage, the Hackathon, and maybe even the Dealflow Forum.
Now here, you have something really interesting. It's a networking place for Dealflow. You see, so you get a table, the table has a number, and then you can go and have meetings and get certain deal flow. So like, this is like effectively speed dating, but for projects.
And speed dating for the conference is CoinDesk TV, the gold standard of crypto coverage, bringing you Consensus. Something AI just can't replicate. Why? Because it's people who drive this novel industry.
It keeps going.
What do you think of this conference?
I love Consensus, and I guess it's the first time in Hong Kong. It's nice to see the Hong Kong market wake up because, you know, it kind of went dead after COVID. You know, I was born here.
Oh, wow. And the energy here is amazing, right? Like, there's like a builder's energy. There's a positive energy.
It's a positive energy.
Bullish, right?
Feeling bullish.
What do you think of the conference?
Amazing. I mean, CoinDesk conference, Consensus conference, one of the biggest names in the space. There's no way to go wrong.
Everything is great.
And what do you do in the crypto space?
So we are Kerberos. We are a solution to protect your wallet from losing everything. So we protect you from scams, websites designed or hacked to steal from you.
Where are you guys from?
I'm from Hong Kong.
Oh, wow. Are you excited to have a whole lot of crypto people here?
Yeah, it's really fun. Crypto people are great.
What do you think of the conference?
The conference is all right. The best part of it was the event that I went to last night. It was put on by these guys, Crypto Banter. Have you heard of them? It was lit, man. Caliber of people that you were able to bring. And the drinks were good. And
amazing. Thank you so much.
And the event hasn't been so bad either.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's crypto conferences like these where we run into familiar faces, like one of our Crypto Banter contributors, Lily Douse. She's here with BitLayer, and then she started talking shop with me.
Right, so predictions for 2025.
Go. It's all over. Close the shop. It's finished.
No, guys, don't bother.
Options are going to zero.
Nailed it.
And here, we have another stage. This one, I'm not sure what the stage is, but it's another stage. And now we're going to go all the way back to our set.
So, we're back at our set, ready to sit down and bring you some alpha and deep insights that you can't get anywhere else. First up, Robinhood, one of the biggest vehicles in onboarding retail investors into crypto. We wanted to find out just how seriously they're taking crypto and how much of the internal share of mind crypto is occupying.
John, you have the unenviable task of being the head of crypto at Robinhood. It's a big job, right?
Yeah, it's a really exciting job. You know, we have millions of customers, and so anything that we build is actually used by millions of people, and it's a very big responsibility to introduce them to crypto for a lot of them for the first time.
So right now, in terms of revenue, what is the revenue split between stocks and crypto?
In Q4, Robinhood crypto was about 30-35% of the revenue.
What's your objectives? Like, if you look 12 months forward, what are you trying to achieve in the crypto arena?
Yeah, so there's a lot of new products that we've built. We launched recently Robinhood Legend, which is a web platform for more advanced traders, and that it's something that we're going to keep pushing on. We also launched Smart Exchange Routing that allows customers to route to the best exchange available. And then we're also trying to expand more internationally. So we have the Robinhood Wallet, which is a self-custody wallet. It's available in hundreds of countries. And we also expanded in the EU, and we announced the acquisition of Bitstamp that will also help us expand internationally.
How important is self-custody and wallets to you guys? Because traditionally you've been a very centralized stock exchange.
It was one of the most requested features for our customer, being able to self-custody. And so we wanted to make sure that they had a familiar place. Like our UX, UI on the wallet looks very similar to the Robinhood place lately. Because
is there adoption? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. We, you know, a lot of the assets that we have on the platform, Robinhood Crypto, are fairly limited. We only have 22 assets. But if you go on the wallet, you can actually access thousands of tokens there.
Okay, so you've got 22 assets. You guys have adopted a very conservative approach. You've always erred on the side of caution. I think one of the most famous incidents was when you guys removed Solana and a couple of other assets because of the SEC. How are you feeling now about maybe pushing the envelope a little bit, given the change of administration?
Yeah, we added 7 assets since the new administration, so you know we're definitely pushing a bit more on that. But I think at the end of the day for us, it's the same process. So we still have a committee that looks at all the assets. We look at it, can we safely operate offering the asset? Can we make sure that there's enough liquidity to offer like the lowest price in Everett? All these kind of things are really important to us. And at the end of the day, look, we're not going to list thousands of assets on the platform. We want to make sure that we have what customers are requesting.
When you go out to a crypto user, I guess you're competing against the Coinbases, the Krakens of the world. What's your proposition? Why should people trade on Robinhood?
Yeah, so many reasons. The first one is we have the lowest cost on average, and so you know you will get more crypto for your money when you use Robinhood. The second thing is the multi-asset parts. You know, you can actually take advantage of the market situation, go into equities if you want to buy a specific stock, and then move back to crypto very easily. And the third thing I think is, you know, we really focus on offering good customer support. We have 24/7 live chat, for example. And we're also offering like a lot of the UX, UI that I mentioned before to make sure that it's easy for you to use and to understand like when to place an action.
Amazing. Listen, well, best of luck. I wish the new administration treats you guys well.
Thank
and
you.
That you guys go to the moon, my friend.
We're excited.
Thank you. My friend. Thank you very much.
Isn't it true that we all just want to go to the moon? And I suppose the only market maker that can get us there is Wintermute. I wanted to find out what happens behind the scenes at Wintermute.
Evgeny, you guys are from Wintermute. I think you guys have got your finger on the market. I think for those people who don't really know what Wintermute does exactly, what exactly does Wintermute do?
So we are one of the largest market makers on centralized exchanges. We are one of the largest prop trading firms on DEXs. We have a pretty big OTC business dealing with pretty large range of counterparties from high net worth individuals to family offices to venture funds to hedge funds.
So one of the things that we see a lot is we see tokens that Wintermute is buying. They're labeled on, the addresses get labeled through Arkham and through other things. And that is usually a preemptive to the token being listed on an exchange, right? People see what you guys are buying, and through that they speculate that that token is going to get a Binance listing or something else. Is that a problem for you guys?
Most of the time when you see tokens in our wallets, it basically indicates that we received the token loan from a protocol. And it usually comes at the stage when those token protocols want to get listed on centralized exchanges. But it is indicative of those tokens entering basically a next stage of their life cycle where they become a bit more established, they become big enough to ask for market, to basically involve market makers on the liquidity provision side to get listed on some exchanges.
In general, how do you feel about what's going on in the meme coin cycle now? I think that we're going to follow a 4-year cycle, and if we are going to follow a 4-year cycle, that means the cycle could end as
no, I think 4-year cycles are over. Like, I think it's like too easy to front run this. Like, I think with TradFi being in play, it's not just a cycle of crypto, it's not just a cycle of Bitcoin halvings or whatever. It's general market macro cycle of TradFi. So if it's 4 years, it's 4 years. If there is a massive market crash like this year, crypto will crash as well.
I have a theory, and maybe you can tell me what you think of my theory. If I look at Bitcoin before Trump, Bitcoin was $55,000. As soon as Trump won the election, Bitcoin went to $110,000. What that means is that the 10 years or the 15 years that got us here got us from zero to 55,000. And straight after elections, we doubled. And so I think the market has already priced in very big expectations of what they think Trump will do to the market.
Bitcoin itself needs to be reassessed, like reimagined by TradFi as digital gold, I guess. And it's still not. Like if you see, I don't know, we had this DeepSeek crash, right, over the weekend. And Bitcoin went down, but it makes no sense. Like if DeepSeek comes, like it does nothing to Bitcoin. If tariff wars start, like Bitcoin crash, doesn't make sense. No.
Elon is threatening to audit Fort Knox, where they store all the gold. And I think if he does and there's missing gold bars or fake gold bars, then gold won't be gold anymore and Bitcoin will be gold.
Well, I mean, it depends what gold is, right? Like if gold is an ETF which references gold in the Fort Knox, then sure. But if all this gold is actually gone,
I mean, why shouldn't the gold price actually go up? Because like there is actually less gold than people thought. So
maybe. I suppose we can carry on forever. Listen, it's been amazing getting to know you and to see the face behind the big brand.
Yeah,
good luck, and we'll stay in touch.
He has a face you'll recognize. One of the best performing tokens around, and that's of course Mantra. Its founder is one of the hardest working people in the space and, of course, a very good friend of our channel.
If it wasn't for this project, I can tell you my bags would be absolutely wrecked right now, because we all know there's actually like only one asset in our portfolios that's keeping our whole portfolios above water, and that's Mantra. I've got the founder of Mantra here again. We've had him here many times before. Bro, what's going on?
I mean, we've been building, so good to see the market recognizing us a little bit, getting a lot of attention. But I still feel like the best is yet to come. I mean, we just announced our VAR license yesterday. That was world's first. So it starts to really show why, you know, the market's starting to recognize us. There's real substance. We're doing real shit, real deals.
I want to ask you the tough questions. Yeah. Everywhere you look, when you look on Twitter, people are talking about, hey, just get Mantra's market maker. I mean, like, is there a magic market maker? Is there a magic one?
There's not a magic market maker. The token just doesn't go up because a market maker is doing something. I mean, there needs to be bidding, right? Fundamentally, the market's starting to properly value us as a layer one. They're understanding that we're the leader in RWA, that we have real substance behind us, you know, with this VAR licensing approvals, some of these big deals that we're coming out with Damac and others. And honestly, we just don't have sellers, right? Like,
is there anyone short? Because the other thing I can think about is like there's a short squeeze going on.
That happens. That happens. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the game has changed when you have, you know, perps and derivatives now. So, you know, there's you have to defend both directions, right?
I mean, I don't know what the last valuation is, probably FTV of $10-15 billion. Traditionally, you guys have been UAE-based, Dubai-based, Gulf-based.
Yep.
That's great, but that's not 15 billion. I think 15 billion means you've got to be fully international.
We are, yeah.
So I think when I look into the US, it's very much a game of Ondo and it's a game of all the other guys.
Yep.
What's your plan to become more US-ified?
But we're definitely expanding in the US. I mean, we're hiring actively there. I mean, I'm American, right? So, you know, in the day, it's home turf for me as well. And I'm not giving that up. You know, I think we have this advantage where I've been in Asia for a decade, so I know Asia very well. We've been developing relationships in the UAE for a long time and have really strong supporters like Sharuk and Laser and Brevin in the Middle East.
Kudos to you, because
thank you.
You just keep working harder and harder and harder. And I know it hasn't been easy because, yeah, you know, the days where you were the Mantra and you were the Parachain,
yeah,
and that couldn't have been really easy. And to reinvent yourself and to bring on new partners. What most founders would have done is they would have abandoned the first project. They would have buried it in the graveyard. All the token holders would have been killed. And then they would have started a second project on a clean slate.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
No. I mean, I think it's like, I feel very strongly that when you launch a token, you're going public and you have to live or die by your token holders. It's like my name on it, right? So, right, like, I'm in it for the long term. I'm in it to win it. I want to be the best I can. I'm super, super competitive. So, you know, I'm whatever we are now, like 22 or something market cap on coin market cap. Like, I'm really not that satisfied. I mean, I'm not satisfied at all, frankly.
The hardest working founder in the space, take it from me. He's here every single day grinding. You can have a meeting with him any time of day or night. Pick up the phone to him at 12 o'clock at night. He'll answer the phone.
100%.
Also answering the RWA call is another project, Clearpool, atop their party here in Hong Kong. With a massive RWA narrative playing out in the markets at the moment, we had to see what was on their roadmap.
So the whole market's wrecked. Everything is red. But there's one sector that is actually performing, and that's real-world assets. Jacob, you guys are from Clearpool. You guys are very deep in the world of real-world assets. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, so Clearpool started about 3 years ago. We've been doing like a marketplace for private credit on-chain. We've done roughly $700 million worth of loans, making us one of the largest players in that sector. Now, since mid of last year, we are shifting a little bit our focus. We actually joined forces with a licensed custodian called Hex Trust, and we're building our own RWA ecosystem. So an L2 focused on, you know, enabling DeFi use cases for RWAs.
So this is Ozen, right?
This is Ozen, correct.
It's an L2 on Ethereum. I take it if it's an L2, it's an L2
correct.
On Ethereum.
Correct, it's an L2 built on the OP stack.
And it's specifically around all real-world asset applications.
Correct. So maybe the idea behind Ozen is to really make RWAs a little bit more accessible and make RWAs, you know, feel a little bit more like DeFi.
why do we need another L2? Why not just build it directly on Optimism? Why use the Optimism stack and build your own L2?
Yeah, fair point, right? So with Clearpool, we've been like an application already for quite a few years, right? We've worked with Optimism and a lot of other chains. You know, I think we came across a few difficulties. One of them was compliance, right? So, you know, what happens is all of these different apps have their own compliance standards. You need to do KYC, and then you need to, and then if you find one of those opportunities, you get a token. This token is then not really interoperable with anything else in DeFi. So even though it is somehow DeFi, it doesn't really feel like DeFi, and you miss out on all the advantages of DeFi.
And when does OZN launch?
So OZN is, we're launching our pre-deposit campaign in the next weeks. We're going to announce it very soon. And OZN is set to launch in about 2 months from now.
I mean, this does sound like it's the year of RWAs. You can see that all the noises are there, right?
Yeah, I feel like the market is a little bit tired from the, you know, meme coin. There's a bit of a meme coin fatigue, I think. So even though the market feels a little bit tired, you know, RWA actually feels very bullish. Not yet reflected, but we hope it's coming soon.
Brother, good to see you. We'll keep following what
you're
doing.
Good to see you.
Look, I'm not a permabull, but we're always looking for bullish builders. Enter Aptos, which is still lagging behind Sui. We know the tech is unbelievable, but recently there was a shakeup. The original founders left, and now we have their new CEO.
And now the price is starting to skyrocket again. So tell us what's happening at Aptos.
So right now we're embarked on a very, very important mission to transform the future of finance at Aptos. And what that means is all about money movement. Three things: trading infrastructure, stablecoin movements, and RWAs. And so I can dive into each of those. Like, I'm sure you've been following Hyperliquid.
Yes.
Very exciting product, very exciting go-to-market strategy, but something that is closed source and somewhat centralized. We build the fastest decentralized infrastructure out there today. 200 millisecond block times, lowest user latency. We're going to see those block times even drop further in 2025. We're starting to look at different use cases of remittances, cross-border payments, in various corridors from US to East African countries, US to LATAM, places like Dubai to others as well.
This sounds amazing, but I guess the big question is, what happened up until now?
I would say the biggest change is just, earlier on I think we were very institutionally focused, and we were also working in ecosystem development, but at a bit of a slower pace. That's actually reversed now. We're really focused on building out, you know, if you think about Aptos, it's infrastructure, it's roads, it's electricity, it's power lines, but you need to have the businesses that make the country successful. And so now we're very excited to see a lot of these very high quality builders coming on chain, building their business, looking to start TGEs as well as become profitable over time. And many of them already achieved profitability. And you're going to see these businesses being built in Aptos that are kind of a pedigree not seen before in the past.
What are the plans to get crypto investor sentiment behind Aptos?
This comes back to, I think, a regional focus that we have not taken on so far. So, we've had success in places like India, where you have more than 40 developing teams, more than 500 open source developers who are building Move and Aptos. But we're now replicating that process across the world. We announced, I think a couple weeks ago, MoveMaker, a new entity in Hong Kong here, who's actually helping to get community started in Chinese-speaking regions of the world. We're seeing that happen in Vietnam, and we haven't done this so far. This is something now that's a new focus for the foundation and for labs to support in terms of achieving massive developer adoption and really getting those builders to take advantage of the unique capabilities of what Aptos is, something that we haven't done as much in the past.
Amazing. So listen, good luck. I mean, I know you've got a lot of cleaning up to do and a lot of building to do. Good luck. And obviously, we're going to keep supporting you and keep following you every step of the way, sir.
Thank you, Rand.
It took a lot of hard work, but we finally completed it.
Another big builder, Gonzilla. They're promising the biggest Web3 game and promising to onboard Web2 users. There's just one burning question to start off with.
When token?
What's the token?
I think that's a question in everyone's mind. I think the official answer has been Q1, right?
Absolutely. The official answer is Q1. So on the 8th of October, we launched early access worldwide on PlayStation, on Xbox, and on PC in the Epic Games Store. Since then, we've signed up now 13 million wallets. We did over 280 million transactions. We're averaging 2.5 million transactions per day, and we're averaging between 450 and 500,000 daily active wallets.
What happens after that?
So there's two separate tracks that we have. One is we will continue developing our flagship product off the grid, which is, of course, new portions of the island will get opened up, new content is coming out, the different missions are coming out, eventually the whole 150-person Battle Royale comes out with 60 hours of storyline on both sides of the conflict, solo mode, ranked play, all these things, right? So we have a whole development track for the game itself. In addition to that, what a lot of people don't realize is that we have the Gunzi ecosystem, which is our own blockchain built on top of an Avalanche subnet. We have our own wallet, our own blockchain skin, our own NFT marketplace, our own NFT minting engine, our own companion app, and our own companion game. All of that has been running in testnet already for over a year.
So is it a permission chain or a permissionless chain? Can anybody move?
It would be absolutely a permissioned chain, especially initially, because we need to make sure of several things. Number one, that it is a gamer-first product, that it is a really entertaining, good, and engaging gaming product. Number two, we need to make sure that only projects that have a sustainable economy launch in our ecosystem.
As someone who's involved in a project, how do you feel about launching into a market like this?
We are very market agnostic, and that is because we are bringing new people into Web3. We're bringing new revenues into Web3. We're not recycling existing capital, which is what most of Web3 is, right? We have people that have been playing all the top five Battle Royale games, switching to our game and paying us $12 a month in fiat, in new fiat monies that are coming into the ecosystem. So yes, is it better? Is it ideal to launch, you know, in an up-only market? Of course, right? But in the long run, as long as we do not depend on Web3 for the success of the product, which we do not, we'll be absolutely fine.
So we have another month and 10 days until the end of Q1. Yeah. I'm looking forward to token launch. Let's stay in touch after the token launch.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Now to another launch, and one that I'm probably the most excited about in the industry, Index.fund. All I can say is that it's like a pump.fund, but for Wall Street.
Stefan, normally we talk to you, we talk about Trueflation, right? Because you're the founder of Trueflation, the new project, which is it's called Index.fund, right? How does it work with Index?
So we realized at Trueflation, we had two sets of expertise. One was infrastructure, and the other one was indexing. And so the indexing team continued to do what they do on the indexing team, especially with economic data. On the infrastructure side, we have this network called Truth.network. All of that data is now available to anybody that wants to play with it. And so what Index.fund has done is built a creator tool on top of all of that indexed data. And so now anybody can create using that data.
So once the index is created, then what?
Then basically it goes on to, you publish it and you can share it to your community. But more importantly, it goes onto a prediction market. So what we say is we have three elements. We have the pump.fund element, we have thematic indexes, and we have a polymarket prediction market. And we blash all those three together, and that's what is index.fund.
Okay. Is it live?
It's live right now today on Base.
Live on Base today. Is there a token?
There is not yet a token, but there are the ability for anybody to create and anybody to publish using USDC. And then anybody to predict.
And if for early users, are there any prospects of an airdrop or anything like that going forward? You can tell by the smile that he's not allowed to tell me, but actually
I can't say much, but yeah, there's a point system that's being developed and that will be implemented.
Enough said, sir, yeah. Enough said. Listen, Stefan, I'm gonna go and test it out. Thank you for coming on. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
And now another project that I always tell everyone that I love, Orderly. I love it because I love protocols where the fundamentals and the sentiment are detached, because I know that one day the price will catch up the sentiment. Let's investigate.
So you won't believe it, but this guy's name is also Ran. We look different, but it's got the same name. Ran is the co-founder of Orderly Network, right? Ran, very quickly, a lot of people don't know what Orderly Network is. What is Orderly Network?
Our mission is to allow anyone to trade anything from anywhere. What that means is an omni-chain perps order book accessible from 10 different blockchains. We're the first to combine both EVM and Solana, and we cater to builders who want to build their perp stacks for their users. Now, over 90 billion has traded through Orderly and 35 builders. One of the ones that launched more recently is Radium. That's the largest AMM on Solana, and their perps is powered by Orderly.
So basically, you guys are not a perp dex as such. All you do is you provide liquidity across chain, and anybody who wants to build a Perpetuals DEX can just tap into your liquidity so that they don't have to go and look for their own liquidity, right?
Yes, liquidity and exchange infra. It takes a few days to build a perp stack. Now we want to reduce that to a few hours and even to have a no-code solution for anyone to be able to build their DEX in like under an hour.
Wow. Okay, and I mean, you came here today and I think you spoke about a couple of announcements. One of them was Radium, and the other one, if I'm not mistaken, was Monad, right? Yeah. So Monad launched, or the testnet launched, is it a mainnet that launched?
It's a testnet. We'll be launch partners on the mainnet as well. It launches yesterday. So when they go live on mainnet, we will as well. So we're excited about that.
What can we look forward to going forward?
We have some great things coming out in the next few months. One is Strategy Vaults, where anyone can deposit assets and then traders can provide liquidity via those assets. We have multi-collateral coming, and you're going to see the true benefits of being on all these chains. We have native assets being used as collateral for perps.
So this is one of those tokens, guys, where the token has real fundamental value. I mean, to be honest, we've been investors since 2020. When did we invest? We invested 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, a while ago.
A long time ago. So we've been investors for a long time, and it's one of those tokens that really has fundamental value. It's not one of these flashy tokens, but it has a lot of fundamental values.
Looking for fundamental value at its core is Maelstrom, a fund that is co-led by Arthur Hayes. But this time, we're speaking to the brains behind the fund. And I know Arthur's going to kill me for saying that.
So often when we come to these conferences, we land up speaking to our good friend Arthur Hayes. But actually the brains behind the whole organization is not Arthur. It's Akshatya. He's the partner. You're the partner and co-founder, right?
Correct.
Of the fund. So I'm interested to understand, I know you spoke on the stage here, you spoke primarily about AI agents. What other narratives, or what narratives are you guys now looking at?
Yeah, our venture strategy is very cycle dependent. So a lot of the deals that we do, the best deals we do are typically in the bear market. That's coming soon, hopefully, in about a year. That's my expectation. Arthur has a different view, but I think for us, what's exciting right now is the intense space. You know, if you look at a world where crypto is interacting with itself in a way that's more efficient than before, from chain to chain, the intents category is probably going to be one of the biggest facilitators of that. So
what are you looking at in the category? What kind of plays are you looking at?
Anyone that can basically create a marketplace out of the capabilities of, you know, bots, of AI agents, of you know, funds, etc., to be able to actually execute transactions on behalf of retail.
So I want to go back to, you said you and Arthur differ in terms of your thesis around when the bear market's going to come. Yeah. Some people say Bitcoin is still in a sideways and maybe a bull market, but the altcoins are still very much in a bear market. How do you see it?
Yeah. So we took a lot of chips off the table in December, January. We were expecting a Trump dump. I think the groundwork is being laid on the regulatory front. You have very positive actions being taken by the SEC, CFTC, get the right people in place, but it's going to take a lot of time for those regulations to actually come to fruition. So you're looking at, you know, minimum 6 to 12 months to even formulate what the new rules are going to be. And after that, implementing those rules is going to take some time. After that, there'll be lawsuits. You know, it's going to take some time for there to be kind of a new normal. So my bet personally is that we don't see the benefits of any of this shit until next cycle.
How would you be investing for the next 6 months?
Yeah, so we're making liquid bets only right now, for the most part.
In which sectors?
DeFi.
And specifically, what kind of deals were you guys doing? What were you looking to buy?
Fluid. We placed a big bet in Fluid. These guys had so much conviction in what they were building that they were one of the few projects that wouldn't give us a discount. So we just bought it in the public market instead.
Okay. And what other bets did you make, or are you making right now for the next 6 months? Our people love alpha, bro. They love calls. Yeah.
So we're looking at, you know, Axelar is a good example. And
what's your bet around the agents and the agent infrastructure?
In the short run, I'm not that bullish. I think it's obviously in the future, 20, 30 years, okay, yeah, the world gets transformed by that shit. But right now, AI agents, they're kind of glorified meme coins, right?
All right, so your bets now for the next 6 months, DeFi. Infrastructure,
yes.
Beaten up infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's where you're looking at. All right, brother, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for watching Crypto Banter right here from Consensus. This was all made possible by our sponsor, Supra, a new novel layer one blockchain that's making huge waves.
Joshua, good to see you again, my friend. I see you wearing your Supra shirt. Tell the guys, what does Supra actually do?
So Supra is the next generation blockchain. It's a different type of blockchain. We're building something we call an all-in-one blockchain, which is vertically integrated. That means a high throughput layer one with native price feed oracles, on-chain randomness, cross-chain communication, and a big one, automation.
Why do you build the oracle into the blockchain?
Well, you know, blockchains are actually closed loop systems. They do not communicate with the outside world. You need oracles to do this. And with Oracle data, and we actually offer 500 different price feeds and cryptocurrency, commodities, et cetera, you can, smart contracts can just do so much more. So it makes blockchains more expressive.
Okay, and so you say, so you got the blockchain and you got the Oracle built in. Talk to me about the automation part of it. I think that's the most exciting part, right?
It is. This is rolling out on Testnet like right now, this week alone. And most folks may not know that blockchains actually don't have built-in automation.
So this makes the blockchain much faster, right? That it, what I think what you're describing is a much faster blockchain than the blockchains that are already out there.
Well, Supra is powered by Moonshot Consensus, which is known to be the fastest type of classical consensus algorithm, classical BFT algorithm. We don't think you can go faster than this because we're pushing up like literally against the speed of light. So we're talking about 300 milliseconds finality. You know, so we're among the fastest chains out there already.
So how fast and how much throughput does that give the blockchain?
Well, the blockchain itself theoretically can, we've measured 500,000 transactions per second throughput with sub-second consensus latency. So folks talk about like, you know, Ethereum, Solana trying to do a multi-liter design. You know, like Supra, Aptos, Sui, we've been doing this already, you know? And this design, you know, it turns out that actually to have a fast blockchain, the thing that matters the most is data dissemination and consensus. People talk about parallel execution. It matters a lot, but it's only like 20% of the transaction journey. We also, by the way, have some fast execution techniques. We're going to be publishing this very soon as well.
So, amazing. So if people want to hear more, where can they go? What's the best place to get information?
Supra.com.
All right. So guys, listen up. That's our sponsor, Supra.com. You heard it here. Very fast. Built-in automation onto the blockchain. Built-in Oracle onto the blockchain. It's really a new paradigm in thinking. Go and check it out. Supra.com.
This special episode is brought to you by Supra, a multi-VM layer one. The world's first technically integrated all-in-one blockchain, Supra provides developers with everything they need on a unified platform to build Supra dApps.
Supra's layer one vertically integrates everything dApps need, from oracles to cross-chain communication. We've also integrated support for multiple VMs right on our layer one. So EVM, Move VMs, Solana VM builders can build with all the vertically integrated services on Supra. Now, because it's all integrated into one unified system, it helps dApps run faster, and Supra's shared security keeps the Layer 1 network and all native services secure, and there's never a need to rely on an external third-party network. So when you run a transaction here, the dApp can sprint through all the functions and execute way faster on Supra. This blockchain actually functions like a real, global, decentralized computer with faster performance, shared security, and lower costs for builders and users. And that's the power of full vertical integration that you get on Supra.
Welcome back to Hong Kong for Consensus 2025. We've taken you all over the conference, but what you don't see is the 330 plus side events that are happening around this town that's absolutely cooking, including the biggest event, which was the Banta and C-Squared event at the iconic Soho House. It buzzed with frontrunners, VCs, KOLs, fans, and many, many more. The night before, we even hit KOL Capital's events, and I even managed to pick up an award.
Thank you guys, thank you for a very unexpected award, thank you very much.
So much cooked at Consensus, from party to party, and even horse racing at the legendary Hong Kong Jockey Club, the official Consensus Cup. The conference concluded into the last day with Crypto Fight Night. Some of crypto's biggest influencers duking it out.
Sugar!
And of course, non-stop at Lang Kwai Fung, like only Hong Kong can do. Back on the floor, we got back to talking all things Hong Kong. We'll wrap up by talking to our newest partner, Gate.io. The Hong Kong-based exchange knows the landscape here pretty well and why it might just be crypto's next Asia capital.
Kevin, I'm back in Hong Kong after not being here for like 6 years or 5 years. there's a buzz in Hong Kong, and even more of a buzz here at a crypto conference. This place is humming, right?
Yeah, Ren. Well, thanks for coming back to Hong Kong. This is probably the best week. It's not raining. It's like the weather is actually perfect for a big events like this and whatever 327 site events that we have.
So we're here for 1 week, but I mean, Hong Kong is very, very friendly to crypto regardless, right? There seems to have been a turnaround here in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talk about like the crypto regulations in Hong Kong for the last few years, but like the main regulator, the SFC, actually been doing this for like more than like 7-8 years already. So like they know the industry pretty well. And of course we have like really like overarching support from the government, HKMA, the SFC, the government branch with like a financial
security. So lots of building.
A lot of support from like everyone. So I think the holistic support is where we see this country, this city will make it as a hub of crypto.
And listen, now we've spoken about Hong Kong, now if we talk about my real passion, is actually Formula One.
Right,
and I know that you guys at Gate just took over the sponsorship, the new crypto sponsors of the Red Bull team. Why did you guys choose to sponsor Formula One?
I think it's just more about the branding. I mean, Gate's been around for more than almost 12 years now. In crypto, it's almost eternity, right? But like in the last 18 months, we feel like that we have to show up a little bit more to interact with our community, to you know, build our brand a little bit more. We have perfect, solid products already. We just need to let people know.
What is Gate? I mean, I know Gate because I use Gate. I trade a lot of altcoins on Gate. The reason I trade altcoins is because they're usually quite quick to list.
Yes.
And there's always enough liquidity to trade. But when you want users to think about Gate, what is Gate? Why should I trade on Gate and not on, I don't know, Binance, Bybit, BitGet, all those exchanges? Where does Gate sit?
Yeah. First thing is like, you're really right. I mean, I agree 100% with you. It's like we are the gateway to crypto. We want people to trade. We are a fair platform for like everyone to trade. I know we don't have a crystal ball what's the next coins gonna go 10x, 100x, but like we give you a platform to trade as many coins as possible with, of course, the caveats that we do all the due diligence, etc. And other point is, again, we have been around for so long. We have a proof of resilience in cycles, right? So in a way, people trust us because like we always been there. We're always solid. We're always well-funded. So I think that's key.
Well, listen, brother, I'm looking for a very good partnership with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
See you around.
That's one of our partners, our newest partners, Gate, and that's Kevin. And yeah, very, very, very excited about what's to come from them.
And what are we looking forward to? Well, we're looking forward to a pickup in the market, a reversal of this sideways action. The short term may be turbulent, but what we see at Consensus is that in the long term, the builders are building. More timely, our takeaway here. Hong Kong is here to stay, and they're super serious about becoming a global crypto hub. Right now, it's a race between countries and companies, and Hong Kong is vying to take the lead on behalf of Asia. If it's good for crypto, well, I'm good with it too. For now, trade well, my friends.